Good morning. Good morning. I was thinking about saying good morning to you all this morning, and I was thinking, sometimes I say good morning just kind of a greeting or for a mic check, just to say good morning. But I wanted to sort of highlight two other ideas about good morning, because I thought it also could be, it is a good morning. You know, when we say good morning, we kind of just do it automatically, but it's a good morning because we all had some idea that we were going to come here today. And we all made it. It's kind of like Jimmy Fallon says, you made it, you're here. You know, so we all made it, which is, you know, not a small thing. The cars worked well enough. We felt well enough to get here, right? So it's a good thing. So I just want to celebrate and say good morning. And then I also thought it could be sort of a wish, right? Like, good morning to you. I hope you have a good morning. So you had some idea when you came here about why you wanted to do this instead of something else. And you took that action and you came. So maybe you wanted to see your friends. Maybe you were just sort of being cooperative. Or maybe you had something specific in mind you wanted out of today. You know, maybe you wanted to learn something. How many have been to Kadampa Center before today? Okay. And how many of you today is your very first time in the building? All right. So welcome, each and every one. We all had our first day. And so whatever it was you're looking for when you got here, whatever your beneficial purpose for coming today was, I hope it ends up being a good morning, that our time is useful here compared to something else we might have done. So one more time, I want to say good morning. Thanks. Good morning. That sounded good. So my name is Denise Flora. I am one of the members here. And Donna asked me to speak today on gratitude, since we're close to Thanksgiving. So that's our main subject today. The plan is that we're going to do prayers like we usually do. Well, it may be a little bit different since I'm leading for the first time, so I'll do my best to do them the way we usually do. And then I've got a little something for you guys. I've got a little poem story and activity specifically for you guys before you go. And then we'll have our conversation and contemplation about gratitude together after the children go. And then we'll do our closing prayers, and then at the end, I think we have an expression of gratitude for some of the volunteers, and maybe a conversation about a way to express your gratitude. So that's our general plan for this morning. So, first the prayers. You have either a gold book or a white book. And the first one we're going to do is Shakyamuni Buddha's Mantra, which is on page 34 in this book. Or it's right behind the picture of the Buddha page in the other, in this book. And we're going to do that. There we go. We're going to do that three times. You guys know this one. Tayata Omune Mune Mahamunaye Soha. Tayata Omune Mune Mahamunaye Soha. Tayata. On the same page in the gold book, we have Medicine Buddha Mantra. And in the white book, it's on the blue paper, on the blue page. If you want to read it, it's on page 34. Do you want me to read it? Okay. Bhagawan with equal compassion for all, whose name, when merely heard, dispels the suffering of the lower realms, dispeller of disease and the three poisons, I prostrate to Medicine Buddha, Lapis Light. And we can think of the people who would have been here, but they just didn't feel well enough today. Tayatam bekanse bekanse maha bekanse bekanse radha samakate soha. Tayatam bekanse bekanse maha bekanse bekanse radha samukate soha. Tayata om bekanse bekanse maha bekanse bekanse raja samugate soha. Tayata om bekanse bekanse maha bekanse bekanse raja samugate soha. Tayata om bekanse bekanse maha bekanse bekanse raja samugate soha. Tayata om bekanse bekanse maha bekanse bekanse raja samugate soha. Tayata om bekanse bekanse maha bekanse bekanse raja samugate soha. Now we're going to say the four immeasurables. Let's do it once in English. That's also page 34 here. And in this one, yeah, on the same page as the first mantra. Do the English chanting once. And maybe we'll sing it once in Tibetan too. So first English. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. And then the Tibetan chanting version, I think, is only in this white one. We'll do it one time too. Page 37 to read the chanting version. Thank you. Sen chen tan che de wa tan de wei yu dan sen pa ki fu chi du na. Thank Sarah Brooks for transcribing the music for this and Geshe Gelick for teaching it to her. So we have it. All right. And then to finish, we're going to say 8 Chenrezig mantras and 7 Green Tara mantras. And those are on this same page in the white book. And right below the chanting version. Okay, so 37 in the gold book. Om Mani Padme Hum, 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 Om. fed me. And that Chinmay mantra represents compassion. And the last one represents enlightened activity, Green Tara mantra. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha. 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 Thank you very much. So, you guys, I want to show you a new activity, and then I want to read you a story poem before you go, okay? So, have you ever done that thing where you take your hand this time of year and you trace around it? You know what I'm talking about? What am I talking about?
You're talking about like a tree that
You can make a tree. Sometimes you do that. Yeah, and what else?
Sometimes you can make a turkey.
And sometimes you can make a turkey, so you trace your hand to make a turkey. So I'm going to show you another way to trace your hand. Oh, sorry, did you want to say something? Oh, you can see how much bigger your hand gets. Yeah, because it's always changing, right, growing. So I want to show you another one. So put your hand up in front of you, one of your hands. You can do it too if you want. And we're going to take the other finger and put it at the bottom of your thumb here. And we're going to trace from here. We're going to end up over here. But we're going to go inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale. Inhale. You can do your own speed. Little tracing we learned, I think, from the Center for Healthy Minds. Okay, so you can do a little tracing, and you can do that anytime. You can even almost do it secretly. Like if you're getting ready to take a test or something, and you want to focus, and you want to calm down a little. So you can do that anytime. You don't need any equipment. Just you got your hands. Right? You got it with you all the time.
That's right. Really cool, actually.
Yeah, you like that one. Good. Yeah, you can use it too.
I'm going to.
Okay, then. Do it.
Awesome.
Yeah, and it kind of helps slow you down a little bit too, right? Sometimes with the breathing meditations for the kids, they kind of want to go really fast. So this is kind of a nice way to slow down. Do you feel any different after you do it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I felt like I wanted to go to sleep.
Restful. Well, you could do it before you go to sleep if you wanted to, right? Calm down. Yes, what did you want to say?
I felt like I wanted more breakfast.
More breakfast? Made you hungry. Okay. That's good. So now I'm going to read you a story poem. Do you guys know anybody named Oliver?
Yes.
You know somebody named Oliver?
I met somebody last night named Oliver.
No kidding. Yes, and you guys know somebody named Oliver too. Do any of your Oliver friends have a nickname?
No.
Yeah?
Ollie.
Ollie, perfect. I didn't plant her, really. This is a poem called about Ollie, which is short for Oliver. And Ollie operates an elevator. You guys know what an elevator is? Yeah?
Yeah, elevator.
Can you make an elevator with your hands? Yeah. Now, back in the day, before we had automatic push-button kind of elevators, there was an old kind. Have you ever seen one of the old kind? It had a lever in it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you've seen one of those?
No, I haven't.
And the lever?
I've seen a thing that where it's a box and you would get in and you have to...
Oh, the box, yeah, with a cage. So they still have one of these in Asheville in the city building. It's the only one, I think, in North Carolina still. And it has a lever, and it goes faster or slower. And they used to have somebody whose job it was to operate the elevator. They were called the elevator operator. And you'd go in, and you'd say, Ollie or whoever, say, you know, floor two, please. Or they might, if it was in a store, they might tell you what there was for sale on each level, right, you know. And they would operate the elevator. So this is the story about Ollie. He's the elevator operator. And you guys know the word gratitude?
Yes, I know what that
means. Yes, you know what it means?
I was learning it last week.
You were learning it last week?
I wanted to teach you something.
Perfect. Okay, so you know a little something about gratitude. I'm trying to think if there's any other words I need to tell you about. I don't think so. I think you know. All right, so you can think about this and think about this as happy, sad, sort of in the middle. So you can put sort of in the middle, like where you are most of the time, you know, something really good, something really bad, kind of back to the middle. All right, so here's a short poem. Ollie's short for Oliver. He operates an elevator. Some days he goes up and up, but travels down just minutes later. No one rides inside with him or tells him up or down, please, Ollie. Going up or down sound depends on feeling sad or jolly. Good and bad things come and go, but still he lands right in the middle. So one day he asks the question, how can I go up a little? He begins experimenting. Then he finds the magic potion. Gratitude, or feeling thankful, causes gentle upward motion. Ollie rides a new way now, and others feel appreciated for the kindness that they offer. He and they are elevated. That's the story of Ollie. I'm going to leave you with one little thing, which is, I know you guys are doing chants in your classes, and I'm going to do the one for gratitude for you. All these are really simple. Anybody who wants to learn them, it takes two fingers. That one and that one. That's it. Okay. So, do you guys remember what the chant is for gratitude? Yeah, she remembers.
Thanks for those who wiped my nose.
That's it. Now, when I first made that one, I kind of thought it might be a little bit, you know, gross for some people. So I have some alternatives. You could say, thanks to those who count my toes. Kind of like we trace our fingers. I mean, one of the first things that people do when you're born is count yourself.
Thanks to those who count my toes.
You can make up your own, you know, wash my
thanks to those who wash my clothes.
And you get later on, you're doing stuff, and they're cheering for you, and you can be like,
thanks to those who shout bravos.
Right? So anything you can. The idea is to think about the kindnesses, in particular, that your parents, but anybody who helps you out. So let's do the, you guys willing to sing the wipe my nose one?
No.
Which one do you like?
I like the last one. You
like the last ones? Shout bravos? Oh, we'll do both. Okay.
Thanks to those who wiped my nose.
See, some of you smiled, so that's okay. And the last one, the bravos.
Thanks to those who shout bravos.
All right, you guys can go to class. Good job. Thank you. You're good listeners. Okay, let's settle with three big breaths, in through the nose and out through the mouth, and you can make noise if you want on the way out. That's what Tintin Jimpa says. His Holiness the Translator. And then just at your own speed, in through your nose and out through your nose. Okay, so today we're thinking about thanking. I think that's what Donna said. Thinking about thanking. just in time for Thanksgiving, explore gratitude, how to think about it in a meaningful way, learn a little about the science of practicing gratitude to improve happiness and our own role models for gratitude. So we can learn about that from our spiritual tradition here. We can learn about it from social scientists, from neuroscientists, from our personal experience and the experience of people that we know, and we'll talk about some of all of those, and our own role models for gratitude. So what is gratitude? I'm going to let you guys start out by saying that. What is gratitude? Jill has the microphone, and the point is that it helps the people that are streaming here and all of us here too, so it would be a kindness if you would get around to being comfortable to use the microphone. What is gratitude? I'm going to write down just some general ideas. Yes, thank you, Anna.
I think gratitude is feeling joyful for all the good that we have in our life, and we take everything so for granted.
Okay. Anybody else?
Gratitude is an appreciation of all the things we have and the things we are.
The things we have and
are.
Anybody else?
Just a general thankfulness for what comes your way. I mean, sometimes you don't know what's a blessing and what's a curse. So, you know, it's
right. Whenever my kids go on a job interview, I say, may it all work out for the best, whatever that is. Anybody else? So some of the different pieces of gratitude that I thought about when I was preparing this was sort of the feeling that you have when you're grateful for something. And then, you know, of course, I looked up dictionary definition. And it also talks about the willingness to express that feeling. And then the third piece that they mentioned was, and then being interested in repaying that kindness, whatever it was, those three different pieces. And I found this little book while I was cleaning out for a garage sale this week. And this is a little book. My mother's here. I'm very grateful to my mom for, so I cannot list the number of things, but she did. Anyway, this is a book, and I didn't ask her the story of this book, but it has my sister's name in it from when she was a child, and it's called That Happy Feeling of Thank You. Do you remember this book? No? We haven't touched it for, you know, I'm sure a long, long time. The copyright's in the 60s. I had to decipher the Roman numerals to figure that out. That was back when they used to put Roman numerals for the copyright dates. And this one talks about two kinds of thank you. It says one is an out loud kind, which you often say with a smile, thank you. It's a short, polite way of saying you have been kind to me. And then they go through some examples of what would be kind to a child in the 60s, you know. And then it says the other kind of thank you has almost no sound at all. It whispers deep inside you when you were very, very happy. In a way, it's like the out loud thank you. It's another way of saying you've been very kind to me. And this one is from a Christian perspective, and it says, in this way, it's quite different. It's the kind of thank you, the only one who hears it is God. So I think this is really interesting, that even in sort of this little book, it was sort of looking at these two things, you know, the internal way and then also the outside. So when we say gratitude, we can be talking about either one of those two things. All right. So when I was thinking about gratitude and really each one of these, many of you know that I work a lot with the 16 Guidelines for Life, 16 positive qualities, and one of them is gratitude. And as I've been working with them, I've been thinking about who my role models are for each one of these positive qualities. It's a great conversation to have with your family members, whatever list of positive qualities that you identify as something that you'd like to cultivate or see more in the world, to have a conversation. I've done this both with my young children and with my mother about, you know, who, when they had an experience of this quality, who their role models were for this one. And as I thought about my role models for gratitude, I thought about somebody who used to be here, Valerie Jones. Some of you remember Valerie Jones. She was very involved in particular with the membership and with the children's activities. And when she was helping, you know, during her time, when she was helping grow the children's program, she used to write a paper thank you note to every child who attended here on each Sunday and send it to them to thank them for coming and helping to create this program. And that left such an impression on me that I teach music lessons and I will often write, anytime I get something from my students, I always write them a paper thank you note because I remember what a big deal it was to get one, and I try to, you know, sort of echo that out to my students. And I was preparing this, I thought, that's what I want to do for them for Christmas. I'm going to write them each a note that tells them what I appreciate about them. Because as I was preparing for this, I looked through my notes from teaching the children on gratitude, and I found a letter that one of my students had written to me. And I'd forgotten some of the things. And one of the things I had asked them to help with the materials, and they thanked me for asking them to volunteer in their letter, too. So Valerie is one of my role models. So I'm going to give you each an opportunity to think about your role model, who you know in your life who models gratitude. And I'm going to give you a minute to think about it, then I'm going to encourage you to get into some small groups and talk with each other about your role model for gratitude and why. All right, so first a little quiet time. You can think about, when did someone show you gratitude? When did you observe that? How did it feel? Who is there? Do you know someone who models gratitude? Okay. Now if you would gather yourselves into some relatively small groups, like three, maybe four, so that you can just share what you want to share. You know, if it's a personal story that you thought of just now, you don't have to share that. It's up to you what you want to share. But just, you can talk about what makes a role model for gratitude. And when we come back, we're not going to report unless you want to. You can share what you want when you come back, but this can be private. And I'm going to turn off my microphone. Trey's on. If everyone hasn't had a chance to speak, go ahead and switch. We've got about one more minute. Wrap up your conversation. You need more time? Oh, that's okay. Everybody's kind of getting back to their seats. Okay. All right, does anybody want to share anything about what they talked about in their groups or any role model stories that came up for them?
I'll start just so I get the microphone in my hand. It's easy. Everybody's so grateful they can hardly get control here. I was thinking my big role model is Elise Striebel. She's right there.
Yeah, she's great at it.
She doesn't like it either, so deal. She has taught me how to be grateful, and there's several ways she does it. She remembers details, and so it makes it really personal. She's not just saying thank you. She remembers details, which makes it lovely. Like, she remembers what you've done, and then sometimes it's spur of the moment, which is really beautiful. Like, out of the blue, she'll thank you just for being who you are. Amazing. So she has no idea if you're down or what you're dealing with, but she will send love notes in the mail, email, telephone, person to person. I mean, if she could send a helicopter, she probably would. So,
and gifts.
So yeah. She's a role model for me, and I'm sure for all of us here.
It's a good story. Thank you for sharing.
Would you like to thank Elise, too?
Sometimes I do thank her, but as we were talking about role model for gratitude, the two people we could think of most were Geshe Gelick and Geshe Tsongpo, who, it seems to me, seem to us that every time you meet them, they think of some thing to mention to thank you for. And I know we have that Buddhist training of thanking people seven times. I've always taken that to be kind of figurative. You know, how could you really do it seven times? But maybe you could do it three times or something. And they really model doing a lot of thank yous, because so often when you see them, the first thing they say is, oh, thank you for something or other that you did recently. And I think they do that more than anybody else that I'm around.
Interesting. Thanks, David.
In our group, we spoke about some individuals in our lives who are gifted at expressing gratitude. As someone in the group said, it's an art. She's taken it to an art. But we also talked about the importance of expressing gratitude as a gift to other people, to acknowledge the kindness or the thoughts or whatever it is that's generated that sense of gratitude in your heart.
Yeah, good. Okay. Thanks, Joanna. So not only the effect on us, but the effect on the other people. Anybody else? Anna.
I'm very grateful to all the Sangha that we have. We are so fortunate. We have two Geshe's and the nuns. Wow, that's more than a lot of centers have, and some centers don't even have any Sangha at all. And for all the teachers, whether they're registered or still teach us and they're not registered, so grateful. Thank you so much for everything you do for the center, for us, helping us. Thank you.
Thanks, Anna. Anybody else about your role models for gratitude?
Yes. Yeah, everybody knows this person. And if they don't, they should get to know him. Andre? No. So I can't say enough about him. He's helped me a lot. And anytime I'm around him, I always feel really good. And he makes me grateful for everything I have. And he's just a great guy to be around.
Thank
so if you don't know him, get to know him.
Okay. All right, here's a couple of quotes on gratitude. The miracle of gratitude is that it shifts your perception to such an extent that it changes the world you see, from Robert Holden. Trade your expectation for appreciation and the world changes instantly, from Tony Robbins. Don't let the empty cup be your first teacher of the blessings you had when it was full, from Alexander McLaren. We can only be said to be alive in those moments when our hearts are conscious of our treasures, Thornton Wilder. At times our own light goes out and is rekindled by a spark from another person. Each of us has cause to think with deep gratitude of those who have lighted the flame within us. Albert Schweitzer. How to have a good day. Step one, wake up. Step two, be grateful. Repeat. That's from the Positivity Toolbox on Pinterest. But I've also heard Venerable Amy say, in the morning, practice gratitude. We woke up. We had this opportunity. And in the evening, practice rejoicing, which is, you know, kind of a slant on gratitude, too, because we're being grateful for the things that we did right or that anyone did well, anything that had positive benefit anywhere. We can make it as big as we want. And the last one I'll read is a Chinese proverb. It says, when eating bamboo shoots, remember the man who planted them. So why cultivate gratitude? Right? We've got a lot of things we could be doing. Why cultivate gratitude? Yeah, it's a question to you guys. Yeah, that's right. This is interactive. Because that's the most beneficial. I mean, I could stand up here and just read it.
I would just, for one thing, it helps me remind me of our connection.
Connection.
Yeah, to have gratitude, it reminds me that we're all connected, and that feels good.
Vast sea over here that's kind of quiet. This is where the shy people sit.
Why else? I'll give you the science in a minute, but I thought it'd be more fun if you named most of them already.
It lowers your blood pressure. It benefits your mind.
Good karma.
I heard that. I'm writing it. Yes, Joey?
Get you out of the me thing.
Get you out of me thing. Yeah, that's a good one for me. Okay, so anybody else want to say anything?
It's a positive thought.
Positive thought. Okay. Hundreds of studies, practicing gratitude has been found to increase positive emotions, reduce the risk of depression, heighten relationship satisfaction, and increase resilience in the face of stressful life events, among other benefits. That's from the Greater Good Science Center. They're social scientists, University of California, Berkeley, and there are many, many gratitude practices on their website in their Greater Good and Action section. And then from Positive Psychology Program, gratitude has been shown to help you make friends, improve your physical health, improve your psychological health, enhance empathy and reduce aggression, improve your sleep, enhance your self-esteem, increase your mental strength and resilience in stressful situations. So lots of science behind it. I'm going to read you a couple verses. Ups and downs fade quickly. Good fortune, health, disaster. But one thing keeps me lifted, simply giving thanks. And that thing that I did with the kids at the elevator and how when good things, bad things happen, we generally, with a few exceptions of really terrible things happening, we pretty much return back to our set point for happiness. But one way we can bump it up is with gratitude. And the other verse. The scientific way to boost well-being and rewire my brain is thanking those who have been kind. This grateful act gives lasting gain. So, how does it work? Well, you got close to it when you mentioned connection in the first place. It helps us savor the good. So, Geshe Gelug's always saying, think of something positive. People debate about how many thoughts we have every day. I've seen 12,000, 20,000, 100,000. I think it partly depends on what you count as a thought. But the point is, we have lots of thoughts, and oftentimes many of them are negative, more than half. So when we're consciously cultivating gratitude, we're improving that balance. We're bringing ourselves more to realistic
perspective on what's really going on. So gratitude helps us savor the good. Expressing it boosts our self-worth and our self-esteem. You know, someone did something nice for me. You know, this was a nice thing. Helps us cope with stress. Builds our social bonds. One of the practices that I tried was an email practice. Every time when I sat down to do an email session, I would jot up a really short, really quick thank you email. And if I didn't have something already in mind, I'd make something up because it's not hard to sit and think, all right, well, what's a quick little short thank you email? Who would have loved to get a quick little short thank you email for something that they did? And I found that to be, it improved my relationship with email. And it also really actually improved a couple of relationships that I, you know, wouldn't say were having trouble, but, you know, it was nice. It was a good thing. So how do we cultivate gratitude? Well, the Greater Good Science Center lists four main ways to cultivate gratitude. One is count your blessings. You know some ways to do that? Counting blessings? Most people have heard about a gratitude journal, right? Have you ever tried a gratitude journal? Yeah, some people. So they used to say things like, write up to five things at the end of the day that, or at the end of the week, that you're grateful for, right? Now they say, that's still good, and if that works for you, that's great. But if you write five things about one thing, so you go a little deeper into the one thing, it can even be more effective for helping you get that feeling of gratitude. So you go into more detail. You know, you list all five things you like about, you know, a person, as opposed to, I'm grateful for my spouse. You know, you think specific. Go more specific. Be as specific as possible. Get personal. Try subtraction, not just addition. So you're thinking, if somebody I knew wasn't in my life, and then they came back into my life, I would be rejoicing. Like if somebody was lost, you know, or when those kids were stuck down underground or whatever, when they came out, it was rejoicing. And why was that so different from them just sort of walking in on a normal day? Well, because we had the realization of what it would be like without. So you can look around and see, what if it wasn't there, would I really be sad? But it's here, so I can rejoice and be grateful. See these good things as gifts, and particularly savor the surprises. Something that happened today that you didn't expect. If you write something down the second time, try to write something different about it, right? Not just repeating, but enhancing. And to write regularly. So for some people, they have to do it every day or they're not going to have a habit. But they said it can even be more effective if you do it just a couple times a week, right? Because then it's fresh. You're not adapting to sort of taking that thing for granted. But don't overdo it. You don't want it to be a chore, right? So you can find your own balance of how often you would want to write something. They do say it's more useful to write it than to just think it, to actually record what the thing is. And one way this really helps is because, in my experience, when I've done this, is during the day, we're scanning, right? I was at a presentation on resilience earlier this week on Friday, and the guy was saying, and I had seen him right after he had hit a deer with his truck. And so we don't know what happened to the deer. He tried to find it. But we know that the truck got messed up. And he had it in the shop, and he said, well, I'm used to coming out of the parking lot and scanning for my truck. But I was driving my wife's car since my truck was in the shop. And so I came out, and I couldn't find my car. I'm like, oh, yeah. So we scan for what we habitually scan for, right? And so if we know that at the end of the day we're going to want to write down three positive things, then we're scanning. And if something happens, then we're ruminating about that because I got to remember it so I can write it down, right? So that keeps the positive in our mind longer and more often. Okay. So we're going to do another... try it. Yeah, I think we have time to do one more where we're going to get together and we're going to think about something that's going right for you. And you can think about someone who impacted that situation, someone who has something to do with that going right
Right, and this kind of gets back to our connection. I want to list the other four. Counting blessings, mental subtraction. All these gratitude practices kind of fall into these categories, they say. The third one is to savor. And the fourth one is to say thank you. Express your gratitude. So for now, let's try it. What we're going to think about is, who are you grateful for? They say in general, writing down things we're grateful for is useful, but thinking about the people that we're grateful for can be even more impactful. So we're going to try to think about someone who has been kind to you, a person. Okay? And then you can think about why. All right? So someone who's been kind to you and why. All right? You can get into your small groups and share with each other one more time. All right, let's come back together. If you haven't had a chance to express your gratitude to the person that you thought of or talked about that had been kind to you, it's not too late. Even if they're gone, you can still find a way to thank them for what they did that was kind. And and you can probably find a way to try to repay that kindness, if not to them, then forward. Is there anything that anybody is burning to share from that session? Yes, someone in the back. What a nice raised hand. That makes it easy to see. Thank you. Not to be missed. Yes.
I'm sorry, I just told you this, but now I'm going to tell everybody. You have to hear it again. I've been having some pretty difficult health problems, and I haven't been able to do things that I would like to do for my family, like pick up the house and make dinner and such. And I met a new friend earlier this year, and within a couple weeks of the day we met, she was coming over and helping me pick up my house and organize my house and just helping with dinner and spending time with my kids. And she's just amazing, and I would just like to thank her for that because she's
wonderful.
Sitting right here.
Yay! That's awesome. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. That's great. Good job.
I charge 15 an hour.
Okay, so you got to express gratitude and we get to rejoice. Yeah, okay. Anybody else? So I often think about gratitude when I see the garbage collectors come to my house, because there was a time when we had a storm, this was a long time ago, and I think it was a snowstorm, and they weren't able to come for a while. And so now, almost every time when I see the garbage collectors, I think, I'm really glad, and try to smile and wave at them, you know, because I remember what it was like those weeks when they couldn't come. And I often tell the story to my students about the piano that I have, because I have an old baby grand piano, 1936, and the reason I can have it is because my mom had the idea that we would have a piano in the house, and my father and my grandfather helped take that old thing they got apart, put new felt on everything, painted it 57 Chevy Black, which was the paint that my dad had. And so I always tell my students that, you know, that this is why I'm able to have this nice piano, because of all of these people in my family. So I get the chance to retell that story with every new student that I have. And I had a really weird experience where I was getting ready to prepare another talk. It was one of our Food for Thoughts. And I hadn't done it in a while, and I kind of forgot what the next subject was, and it was coming up, and I was thinking, oh, what is it, what is it? And then I went to my folder, and I had already
put down some notes at the end of last time, and I was like thanking my former self, which was sort of a weird thing. It was like, wow, that was a different person then that was doing that, and I'm really grateful that that person did that because now this is easier. So that was kind of an interesting sense of self experience. Another thing, one of these was the mental subtraction. We talked about that. And the savoring, I brought in for you a practice that you can take home and try. There's a little table there. It's called a gratitude beans practice. And I put a bunch of little dried beans in each bag. And if you have a device to take a picture, you can take a picture of the directions. Or you can go to this link where I wrote it up for you. It's called bit.ly/gratitudebeans. It's a blog that I put up yesterday for you guys. And it tells about how to put the beans in one pocket. It comes from an old German story. I put the story, link to the story up there on gratefulness.org, I think. And you put the beans in one pocket at the beginning of the day, and then anytime something nice happens, a nice sight, sound, any of those things, or you get together with a friend, or you hear some good news, somebody got better, whatever, then you move the bean over to the other pocket. And then at the end of the day, you look at that pocket, even if there's only one bean in it, and you're like, oh yeah, this nice thing happened, right? It's another way to do sort of a gratitude journal. For a while in our house, we were doing this, and we would say, if something good happened, we'd say, move a bean. That was our little shorthand. Then we even shortened it to MHB, which was move a hypothetical bean. So, you know, just as a way to sort of acknowledge something nice happened. So, and a way to reflect on those things at the end of the day. So you can take those beans home with you when you go, and you can try that. And my wish for you is that you run out of beans by the end of the day, as I did the first time I tried it. I thought, this is way too many beans. This is a lot of pressure to have all these. But really, if you start looking and scanning, then you see those positive things. So Thanksgiving's coming. I saved 10 minutes to talk about, so how do we practice gratitude with Thanksgiving? Because sometimes, you know, depending on your situation, you might be alone, you might be with family, you might be with friends, and, you know, they do that thing where it's like you're going to say, okay, what's everybody grateful for? And it might feel genuine, but it also might feel kind of forced, or kind of, if you're a real shy person, it might feel kind of awkward. So I have several suggestions from the social scientists about how to move towards having sort of a no-pressure Thanksgiving that still moves your heart. So I got some tips and tricks from the social science experts about that. First from Dr. Christine Carter, who's at the Greater Good Science Center, and I've admired her work for a long time. She studies a lot of the social science and then boils it down into something that I can understand. And they have lots of practices there at the Greater Good Science Center website. She does two Thanksgivings every year. The first one is the weekend before. It's a friend's Thanksgiving, and they've been doing this for years and years and years. And the main practice that she liked best from that situation was they all sit around in a circle, and it takes them a long time, like an hour even, to go around the circle, and they basically do toasts to the other people in the circle. And they end up being a very sort of a detailed, focusing on the positive things that they appreciate about, you know, one of the other people there. And she says, often those kind of toasts you only hear like at your wedding or at a funeral or something. And she said, and for them, this is a very meaningful practice that they do, and that it's helped their group bond because they've learned things about the other people from one person that they didn't know. So the other practice that she likes is the one that they do in their family, where the kids make a place card for each person who's going to be at the meal, and they decorate them, put leaves on them and stuff. And then on the inside, sometime while they're cooking, everybody sneaks around to the table and writes things on the inside of the card for each of the people that are at the table that they appreciate about that person. And so they have this private component. So even the folks who are kind of shy, you know, can put something down, don't have to speak in front of everyone. And then at the meal, I think after dinner and before dessert, the person whose card was written for them gets to pick one or two things on the inside that they want to read out loud, right? So they don't have to read everything. If you write something really private, you don't have to read it, you know, but they still get that message of appreciation. Then I wanted to also mention from Kira Newman, who's someone who also writes for this website. She's the one who used the phrase, what a no-pressure Thanksgiving that moves your heart could look like.
he suggests giving people time to think. So rather than saying, you know, what's everybody grateful for going around, giving them some time ahead by, for example, leading a short mindfulness about gratitude or reading something that someone has written. One thing that I read recently that really made me feel grateful was a poem that I saw called The Manifesto of Encouragement. See if I can find it here. I was going to give you each one little thing to read and go around, but we ran out of time. I'll just read the first part of it. You can look for this. She posted it by Daniel Laporte, L-A-P-O-R-T-E. She posted it at leafnet.com, The Manifesto of Encouragement. And I won't read the whole thing, but I'll start it out. Right now, there are Tibetan Buddhist monks in a temple in the Himalayas endlessly reciting mantras for the cessation of your suffering and for the flourishing of your happiness. Someone you haven't met yet is already dreaming of adoring you. Someone is writing a book that you will read in the next 2 years that will change how you look at life. Nuns in the Alps are in endless vigil, praying for the Holy Spirit to alight the hearts of all of God's children. A farmer is looking at his organic crops and whispering, "Nourish them." Someone in your orbit has something immensely valuable to give you for free. The next great song is being rehearsed. Thousands of people are in yoga classes right now, intentionally sending light out from their heart chakras and wrapping it around the earth. Millions of children are assuming that everything is amazing and will always be that way. So she goes on and on and on. You, me, someone now. So you can read something like that, you know, to get people kind of thinking, give them time. You can also ask your guests, and I did this once at ours, ask guests to imagine themselves alone at a table, you know, if you have a gathering, you know, and think what that would be like for a minute, not too long, we're not trying to bum anybody out, and then have them open their eyes to the smiling faces that are around them. You could have a guest write gratitude letters to each other ahead of time. You know, let them have some time to think about it, not be put on the spot. And then finally, take a savoring walk. Right? This is something that my mom's always been good at. Look at that beautiful tree. Or whatever I'm sitting worrying about, she'll like pull me out of it and say, "Oh, isn't that beautiful?" You know. So when you point out to each other what you see or hear or smell or feel, then it can enhance for everybody to enjoy all your senses. Okay. Is there anything anybody wants to say before we do dedication and all of our end-of-day activities? No? Okay, thank you. Ah, you got it, you got it, you got it. All right, good job. Good job, good job. Yeah, you got it. Okay, so let me find my last page. Remember to take the beans if you want them when you go. So we'll do a little, we always try to set an intention at the beginning and a dedication at the end, to kind of put it in the bank, as they say. And then we'll do prayers, and then we have some announcements and things at the end. Okay. May the world be a grateful place where showing thankfulness comes naturally to everyone and each person feels appreciated. Today, may each person's level of happiness be raised by being grateful. May they be warmed by expressing thanks for help given to them by others. May I acknowledge those from whom I benefit today and recognize the kind efforts of my parents and others who have helped me in the past. Okay, now we'll have our closing prayers. First, we have in the gold book, page 246, Shanti Deva's dedication prayer.
Is it on the end of the
book? I don't believe it is. Is it? Is it in the white?
Reach behind. Reach behind there.
May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as faith remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Two pages before that and here, the short long life prayers. And do you guys know where that is in here? They're on the back of the sheet that had the song on it right before the blue page, probably. Yeah. Okay. So, let's see. We do Dalai Lama first. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Chenrezig, Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. Then we do Khyentse Rinpoche, right? Yeah. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with patience who received the name Avatari, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. He taught our teacher. Okay, and then Lama Zopa Rinpoche, you uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjanath's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplished magnificent prayers, honoring the three jewels, Savior, myself, and others, your disciples, please, please live long. And he helped start these centers. And then for Geshe Gelug and Geshe Tsongpo, long, happy, healthy life, seven green Tara mantras. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha. 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 And I want to let you know that if you want to work through gratitude or any one of the other 16 positive qualities from the 16 Guidelines for Life this afternoon, we are going to have a workshop. Anyone can come. It's designed for adults from 1:30 to 3:30 right here. And I think we have some other activities in.
Yep. Thank you, yeah, Denise. Sure. Christy's coming up. We'll start with something beautiful they're going to do. Here they come.
No, this is fine. Okay, so we have the three classes, the three children's classes coming in. There, you can bring out more if you want to sit. This is the elementary class. There's some of them, and I'm sure the other ones are coming in. For those of you who don't know, we have three children's classes that happen every Sunday while all you adults are in here and being quiet. They can be in their own bodies with their own energy also taking teachings. And one of the things that we teach a lot is the 16 guidelines, so it's so awesome that Denise is teaching today to you guys, because that's what they focus on every week. So as soon as the other kids are in here, we'll... Okay, good. Yes. Does anybody have any questions about the family program while we wait? I just really want to be appreciative of all the volunteers who are volunteering, even today. And a lot of you don't see them because they're out there and you're in here, and they usually stay with the kids until, you know, all the kids are picked up. So a lot of people aren't, a lot of people are working with that behind the scenes. This is our middle school class coming in. And I'm sure the elementary class will, or the preschool class will come in. Oh yeah, there they're coming. Yeah. Okay, wonderful. Okay, so I just wanted to take a minute to appreciate all the volunteers that make this happen. We have about 20 volunteers that have been here whenever we ask them to be, every Sunday since September. And we're taking a break from these divided up age range classes, and we do a special holiday programming from, you know, Thanksgiving weekend until like the first weekend of January. But there still are classes, and there's still ways for kids to be involved and be a part of their own energy. But I just wanted to, we were thinking about the, in these just past few months, we were doing How You Think, which is the four guidelines of delight, contentment, humility, and patience. And at our family camp that happened in August, we studied patience, and I'm wearing the t-shirt for it. So I figure I would just highlight, just in thinking about all our volunteers at the family program, how they embody these four guidelines every time they come. So patience is, this is kind of in my own words from my studying when I was helping put the family camp in order. But patience is being kind to someone even if they're harming us, because we remember that they're beings too. And harming us could be children who are throwing markers across the classroom when, you know, that's kind of, you're thinking, oh, this is harmful to my mind. So I had a picture of like a puppy pulling a mommy dog's ear. And patience is being calm even when we're suffering, because we remember it's part of living. And so even when you come to the center and you don't want to, or your kid is sick and you're supposed to be volunteering, these are things that all the volunteers have done before. A lot of them do have kids, and sometimes they show up without the kids because it's hard to get everybody in order and make it here on time and serve other people's kids. So patience is also keeping concentration, to know the wisdom of the Dharma and to know our own minds, because we remember this is the best way to benefit others. And I had a picture of a lemur meditating, which is really cute. But, yeah, do you want to see the lemur meditating? okay, the other picture is a kid going to the doctor. It's because you know that even when you don't feel good and you don't want to get out and go to the doctor, but you know that it's to your benefit to go to the doctor and maybe others. So I just want to say thank you to everyone by name. And if you'll just stand up if you're here. Vivian, she's going to stand up. Virginia Meyer, she's not here today. Viviani Krause, Lori Robinson, I haven't seen her today. Catherine Doe, Shannon Blackwood, Annalisa, I know she's here today. Echo, Jack. Is Jack here today? I haven't seen him yet. Adriana? Yes, there you are. Kelly and Andrew Hutzel. Ian and Ann Worthington. Colleen. Sarah Thomason. Aaron Sloan. Tim. Sue and Jory. Where is Sue? Okay, good. And Andre. So I just wanted to give everyone, if you see them and you know them, just appreciate them the next time you see them. And Adriana has this awesome idea, because we would love to give everybody who volunteers a present, but we don't have the resources for that. So we thought of a cool way to do this. So, Adriana, you want to explain?
So this is just a draw. We put all the volunteers' names here, and even if, you know, for volunteers that are not here, but all of them are included here in this bowl, and we're going to make a draw, and we have a couple of gift cards. I don't know what's inside, but, you know, there's gift cards to the movie theaters, so it's cool. Okay. Do you want to do that?
Yeah, where's the other one?
You got it?
Where's the other one?
Yes. So one of the gift cards is for Kelly and Andrew Hutzel. They're not here, but we'll save it for them. And the other one is for Lori Robinson. She isn't here either. So yay, thank you.
And Adriana has done the awesome job of organizing all these adults and their schedules for the past few months. So thank you for doing that. And Dorothy, please stand up. I've failed to say Dorothy's name. She is here most Sundays helping the teachers make sure the classroom is unlocked, make sure they've got everything they need, all their books, and greeting new families. So thank you, Dorothy. Yes. Okay. And there are snacks outside for everyone to enjoy.
Now it's our time. Well, the kids can go out. Yeah, yeah. We ask the adults to remain. So we ended a little early so we could do a few more things. So we have a little annual appeal section here. We ask our speaker today is Glenn Dawson, and he's going to come up and say a few words to you. These poor people, they get all week long, I'm like, who can we get this? So we got Glenn. We're grateful. He's quiet, so we're going to give him the microphone.
Thank you, Jill. So, yeah, we've been here, about a year and a half now, a little over a year. And, you know, we have typical crazy American lives. You know, very hectic, you know, high pressure at work, and into, as this gentleman said, the me thing, right, all week long. So, you know, we've studied meditation and read books and whatnot, and we said, well, you know, this will be good for us to come and be reminded of the importance of thinking about others and to be grateful for that. And this wonderful conversation we had today is a perfect example of one of the reasons we give. But we came here thinking that we would have our minds touched, to be reminded, but we didn't realize how much our hearts were going to be touched by coming here. And it truly, truly has touched my heart to see all of you here sharing all of your wonderful stories and your love. So that's a big reason why we give to the Kadampa Center. Now, another thing that surprised me a lot. I'm not really sure why it surprised me. I didn't really know what to expect. Were the children's program. I had no idea what a wonderful children's program there is here. And I was just amazed to see all these wonderful families and kids and the volunteers that help with the children's program. So that is a really big part of why we give to the Kadampa Center. And Jill, if I'm not mistaken, isn't there a list somewhere of supplies? I think it's online. If not, there you go. There's a list. And, you know, I have to admit to being a little bit lazy here about the giving part here because my wife, Cindy, every now and then lugs stuff in from Costco for the kids, you know, supplies and whatnot. But I'm a lot lazier than that, so I do my giving through Amazon. You know, they make it so easy to buy stuff, you know, and I guess they do that on purpose, huh? But at any rate, I have to admit to being pretty lazy about it. So what I do is I go on Amazon, I look at the supply list, and I just click a few buttons, and there you go. And a few days later, I get a call from Jill, and she says, Glenn, I have all these boxes here from Amazon. Is that from you? And I said, yeah, that's from me. So, and to continue my laziness, I would like to today to send to Jill a $10 gift card for each and every volunteer for the children's program. So look for that. And one of the other big reasons we give is the community outreach. It surprised me again, and it really touched me to see all the things the Kadampit Center does for the greater community, whether it be Hurricane Florence recently or the prison project that we do. There's many, many ways in which we give back to the community. The teachings here, the classes, the retreats, the bookstore. You know, the bookstore, I say, oh, yeah, they sell the books, but it's expensive to maintain an inventory of books like that. So there are many, many wonderful things that we've done. The Interfaith Alliance activities that we do, there's many, many wonderful things that we do here. And lastly, we give because of all of you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to be here, to share your wonderful love, and thank you for giving us the opportunity to help support the center.
Thank you. Like Sherry, Glenn and I were talking on the phone, and I started taking notes, and then I went, Glenn, I'm taking notes. And he said, you know what that means? He goes, okay, I'll talk. So that was sweet and cute. Thank you so much. That was just beautiful. I don't always know what people are going to say, so it's a lovely surprise. Today I thought I would just take a moment to tell you, we haven't really talked numbers yet, so we've been doing some in-kind talks. We've been doing some service. We talked about the budget and the finances. So we hit different pieces, trying to move your heart a little in different directions. But we need some brass tacks, right? So now it's time, where are we? So who knows from the lovely email that you get, and every one of you read, what, where are we financially in the annual appeal? The goal, the budget is $260,000 for the center, about $261,000. The annual appeal goal, 78% of that, which is $204,000. So who knows what we've raised so far? Because now I've talked to Robbie, can I have permission to be honest this year and just say what we are doing? And he said yes. So who saw the number? Anybody know where we are? Susan, do you know where we are? Okay. We are at, drum roll, everyone's good at that. Okay. $156,000. So, thank you. That's awesome, isn't it? Yeah. So that's you guys. So the big thing that I was thinking about this year to say, it's a little, it might sound harsh, but, you know, I get paid to do it, so I can do that. that the people who are sustainers, which means one time, monthly, even in kind and service and prostration, our practices are sustainers. They've mostly committed. I call them all. I talk to them all. Some are procrastinators. They love to wait. I know Judy likes to wait. She gives anyway. I know she's going to, but she always says, I wait to the end when there's a procrastinator challenge. But still, the majority of the people have already pledged. So what does that mean? What is that $48,000? Where's that going to come from? Everybody else. So that's a little tight, and it's a little to say that out loud is like we are looking for everybody who's not a sustainer, that we need $48,000 from everybody, or the people who might want to still increase, that still comes. That's a big number that we need to get to because we put more money in the annual appeal this year. It's the same budget. But we realized we didn't quite raise everything we expected last year in different areas. So we thought, let's just be honest and put it all, that we have to have it. And just tell everybody what we need. So we're telling you what we need is $48,000. And that sounds like a telephone, but it's the truth. So that's where we are. We're only in, what's the middle of November. We started early, so we're trying to end at the end of December this year and not go in. We'll go into a little bit in January, but we don't really want to go to the end. We'll have to make decisions on whether we end the appeal and try to raise it in other ways, but we do have to get there to support our budget to make the center just meet the budget. There's nothing extra in here. It's just the budget. So those are the cold, hard facts. Heather's like, yep, I hear you. That's where we are. Let's see, what else? So one thing I didn't mention, and a lot of you know, is how to give. So you can give from your bank account. You can just send the checks like Susan does. She just sends her check on in through the bank account, sets it up. Strebles do that. I know everything about you guys. And the other way is through credit cards. Susan does that. She just sends her money in through her credit card. We can also draw from your bank account. You know, there's multiple ways to do it. And all of that's online, and it's relatively easy. If you get stuck and have a snafu, just call me. We'll walk through it. some people mail checks in, like Judy. She just mails her check in, or she drops it in the box a lot of times. Some people just drop cash in. They love to be anonymous. That's fine, too. So during this time of the year, that money goes to the appeal. At the other times of the year, that goes to general giving. What other ways are there? I guess that's it. Yeah, stocks. Susan works with stocks. So. So we have some other people who give us stocks, and then we cash them in, and that's their gift to the center. Soon you're going to see the legacy giving, legacy and planned giving, or planned legacy and living giving, because some of that can be while you're still here. You might take, while you're still alive, you might take some of your, we're Buddhists, we're used to saying that. So you might take some of, this lifetime. Today, we're still here. So you might take some of your funds if you have a forced distribution. Those are some words I've heard that you might just, one person said, oh my goodness, I'll just not give monthly and I'll take my forced distribution and give monthly that way and then I don't have taxes. There's all kinds of cool ways to do that. We have people you can talk to about all these things. I'm the simple stuff, just online giving. You can talk to me about any of that. So we also have the in-kind you've heard lots of things about and service. And then the practice for 2019 of prostrations. So we're hoping to finish up our circumambulations, and we'll give that count to Geshe Gelug at the end, which was very moving last year if you were here. He didn't know that we were going to present him with the Mani Mantra count. And I think it was, if you all remember, it was quite beautiful. He was very touched by that. So that's the practice. And now we finally have the mug. You've been waiting so long. It's in, and I'm so excited. It's, you know, looks similar last year, but it's purple. The quote is, there are only 2 days in the year that nothing can be done. One is called yesterday and the other is called tomorrow. Today is the right day to love, believe, do, and mostly live, by His Holiness the Dalai Lama. And then you have your beautiful bookmark that you get each year for giving. So if you give $10,000, if you give $20, you get the mug. We love to be equanimous. Is that the right way to say it here? So that's out on the table. I've got a lot more. So everybody who's already signed up, and that's just if you pledge. So it's not like you've already given, but if you've just pledged, you get to take your mug home. And then, Susan, if you would pass out, if anybody hasn't received this in the mail or would like the brochure, it explains everything. And you could have that, and Scoversius designed that for free. It's very glossy. I know some people might not like that, but it was free to us. So the printing wasn't, but the design was. So that's everything. Susan, is there anything else you can think we can mention? All right. Well, thank you very much for your generosity so far, and keep up the good work.